Okay, thank you. Want something to eat, darling? What would you like to eat?
No.
No? No, thank you. There we are. These are much better. Huh? 2.49. Come to the person. There we are. Some poor person's working at least for $2.49, Jack. Okay, I guess it. Hello? Hi. You did it. Okay, good. Oh right, so you printed it out. It's single space, so it's two pages. Oh, maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm just getting old in my eyesight. It just looks like single. So you're probably right, yeah. Okay, well I'm glad you managed to get it. How is your mum doing? Any better or? Yeah? That they did wrong in the operation, or just something that couldn't have been prevented? Okay, right. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, that's really, that's awful. Okay, well take care. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff.
The Department of Labor has proposed new rules that will require employers to fix conditions that could injure workers through overexertion, repetitive motion, or awkward posture. The proposal will affect more than 27 million employees, from nurses' aides to office workers. The Labor Department says these work-related injuries affect nearly 2 million workers a year, costing employers money in health care and lost work time. The government says the proposed changes would cost employers more than $4 billion to implement. Industry groups say the regulation could cost far more than that, and that the changes haven't been shown to be scientifically necessary. The new rules wouldn't take effect until next year at the soonest, after a public comment period. Texas A&M University has announced the formation of a commission to study the cause of the Bonfire Pyramid collapse that killed 12 people and injured 28 more. NPR's John Burnett reports. University President Ray Bowen says the commission, whose members will be announced at week's end, will look at every aspect of the 90-year bonfire tradition: safety and training, engineering and design, soil and site conditions, as well as student leadership. The commission will use university and outside experts to determine why the 40-foot-long tower gave way early last Thursday morning with 70 students on top. Initial reports suggest a center pole might have snapped. The bonfire was to have been set ablaze Thanksgiving night on the eve of the annual football game against rival the University of Texas. In honor of the dozen fallen Aggies, as they're called, both schools will hold subdued pregame pep rallies, and Texas A&M will have a candlelight vigil at the site of the bonfire tragedy. Four A&M students remain hospitalized, including two in critical condition. John Burnett, NPR News, Austin. In Algeria, an outspoken Islamist has been assassinated in the capital, Algiers. Abdelkader Hashim led the now outlawed Islamic Salvation Front to its landslide victory in 1991 before the army canceled the legislative elections. The BBC's Heba Sari reports.
Hashem was shot by an unidentified gunman at his centrist-wrecking rule in Algiers. He was the most senior leader of his party, the Islamic Salvation Front, at liberty in Algeria. The killing of Mr. Hashem defies the front of the man regarded by many as its most astute political leader, and one who might have been able to engineer a future return of the party to politics. Although in recent years prohibited by court order from engaging in politics, Mr. Hashemi made it clear that he was opposed to the decision by his party's armed wing, the Islamic Salvation Army, known as the AIS, to cease its military activity.
And a solid in the BBC. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 86 points to close at 11,089. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Sodexo Marriott Services, providing customized approaches to food and facilities management services in healthcare, education, and corporations. SodexoMarriott.com. Time is 6:04. I'm Joan Silvey with Michigan Radio News. Michigan Attorney General Jennifer Granholm warned the Michigan residents today about an illegal pyramid scheme operating in southern Michigan. As part of the scheme, participants known as freshmen are encouraged to give money to participants known as seniors. Granholm says the scheme is apparently operating in Kalamazoo, St. Joseph, Hillsdale, Branch, and Calhoun counties. She says she intends to prosecute those who have profited from the scheme unless they turn in their profits and try to cooperate with investigators. State Supreme Court is considering campaign rule changes that would let candidates for the high court raise money earlier. Under the proposal, candidates for the high court could accept campaign contributions on January 1st of an election year, and up to 2 months earlier than the rules allow. Critics say that could give incumbents a substantial advantage by letting them raise money before any opponents can raise. High court is holding public hearings on the issue. Officials in Detroit are organizing more volunteers to stop a string of school girl rapes. Detroit Mayor Dennis Archer has asked volunteers to walk on the streets, parents to walk their children to school, and the children to walk their rooms. Mayor Archer says 300,000 parents, volunteers, city and school employees asking for their help. He says we will deliver a 10-minute televised address tonight detailing these safe streets in Detroit. The economy may be growing, but the number of needs has grown as well, and record income and profits aren't keeping up with the rate of need. Nonprofit groups say they still don't have enough donations to provide food and clothing for needy people as they stay in the state. The Food Bank of Oakland County estimates its needs have doubled over only the past 2 years. Agencies say they need non-perishable food, volunteers, and cash. Turkey the Michigan Radio weather forecast for tonight. Mostly cloudy. The areas of fog and everything. A chance of showers in West Michigan tonight. And our low tomorrow, much like today, partly in West Michigan.
Musculoskeletal disorders, or MSD. And the department says many of those injuries can be prevented.
Jackie, how did you get
Secretary of Labor Charles Jeffrey says the problem is serious enough that a sweeping federal effort could use it.
What a monkey you are. How are you going to get down? What if you
recover from MSDs, and over a million more experience less serious MSD problems at work. We know that we have a national problem.
The rules proposed today would mandate a on the programs covering 1/3 of general industry worksites. Some job categories would automatically be covered that include workers involved in manual handling jobs, such as sorting packages or moving items in a warehouse, as well as all manufacturing jobs. Those workplaces would have to educate workers about ergonomic issues and encourage employees to raise their concerns. Other types of worksites would follow less stringent rules, according to Jeffries. They would only have to respond if someone was hurt.
Cashiers, scanning across the checkout counter, individuals doing intensive computer work, keyboard work, people sorting mail, these kinds of jobs would be covered if musculoskeletal disorder occurs.
Regulations have been attacked by business since they were first discussed earlier this year, and the administration went to great pains today to defend the proposed rules, bringing in workers who detailed how their lives had been ruined by workplace injuries. Walter Frazier works in a Delaware chicken plant, holding up a metal device known as a chicken hanger. Frazier explains how he lost much of the function in his hands, hanging 26 chickens a minute, 8 hours a day, for 9 years.
Everyone who's delivering at the plant has the same problem. We all have damaged bodies. We hurt like hell. And we all will.
The Department of Labor says that at the urging of business leaders, it altered its estimate of the cost these rules will impose. It now says it will run $4.2 billion a year, more than double the government's previous estimate. But Kevin Burke, of Food Distributors International, says industry estimates predict much higher costs, and many businesses would have to
the cost would be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Costs that, in our view, that would result in plants and warehouses and lost jobs. And of course, this is going to be reflected in the cost of goods to the American consumer.
Other industry groups say more research is necessary to set clear standards for businesses to follow. And today, Missouri Republican Congressman Warren Johnson said the administration had ignored businesses' reasonable demand to wait for the NAS study.
So the employers know what they're doing and don't make the decision, we're just going to eliminate these jobs, we're going to automate these particular workplace activities because we don't know how to protect ourselves from these unclear OSHA regulations.
But the Department of Labor says there's already plenty of research documenting the high cost of musculoskeletal disorders, including an earlier study from the National Academy of Sciences. The department depicts its rules as extremely flexible, noting that many recommendations could be implemented at very low cost, like installing footrests at packaging plants or simply buying better gloves for poultry workers. Nevertheless, business groups plan to lobby hard against the rules and are likely to flood the Department of Labor with suggested changes during an upcoming public comment period. So
PRU, Washington. Cornell University Economics Professor Alan Harris has those workers on several lines at supermarket checkout counters, at construction sites, and offices. He says the term ergonomics was first used back in the
1860s.
Jack, no. Describing scientific study of how people do their work. It was resurrected nearly a century later, but Alan Harris says it's only recently it's become a career
choice
for U.S. companies.
You want to sit in your chair?
You are an ergonomist. The correct term is you're an ergonomist who does ergonomics. And this year, in fact, is the 50th anniversary of the birth of ergonomics as a formal scientific discipline. If these proposals indeed become law, does that mean that every company will have somebody on staff recognizing?
Right. I told you not to do that.
There'll be
come away.
Sort of roving band of ergonomic consultants running out of companies. Well, there already are the roving band of ergonomic
Jack?
Consultants. So I think it's going to lead to more general awareness. Because it's not necessarily going to lead to every company needing to hire their own in-house professional. What could you possibly guess when you're just in such a way as a New York that is going wrong within, say, National Public Radio, just based on your experience? What could you walk in and find here? Well, if you're anything like other radio stations, I would guess that when one looks at the layout of the workplace, you see people who deviated from what we are trying to do is get people to work in what we call a neutral posture. That means that all of these parts of the
body are
within a range of motion that's not likely to fall within the air. You may have people doing a lot of writing, handwriting even can be a problem. Remember that the typewriter is invented in part to solve the ergonomic issues with handwriting. And the chances are that people are not sitting in very good quality seating and may not be sitting in an appropriate pocket yet. What about those jobs, though, Professor Harris, that simply are just plain old pure work? If you're nailing up framing for a building or putting up drywall or sorting mail, you have to keep on doing this. What we found in our research is that it's actually more effective to take what are called micro breaks. In other words, to let people work for a shorter period of time, but take a shorter rest break, and during that rest break, not necessarily sit down and take up a button, but perform different types of activities and use different muscles. So the person in effect is still working, it's just that they're not using the same muscles in the same way. And what you then do is you actually pace the work more effectively over the work day, so that you can still achieve the same amount of work, but you can do it in a more sensible, systematic way. It seems in a way that this issue has moved out, that people weren't paying much attention to it when it was really critical and acute in factory situations. Now that it comes into the office, when you have even the boss here, the main growth in ergonomics in Europe.
Very
big.
Aren't you? Come on.
But I do think that what has happened.
You have some milk later, darling.
Virtually every one.
Some milk later.
And so the cobblers is now improving for more smaller, more selective, and the whole thing will be in effect. Thank you, Alan Harris.
Thank you.
Professor Harris teaches ergonomics at Cornell University in Epithemia.
The work of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
Come on, let's go play. Where's your truck?
Office ergonomics found me in a sarcastic frame of mind. Commentator Lori Garrett is a music. One of my fellow computer cripples here at Newsday, obviously,
favorite Lego to Dad.
I'm turn. Have something to eat. What time of grandpa's soup? Mm, Jack. Grandpa's soup. kitty, 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 kitty. Kitty, 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 kitty. Kitty, 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 kitty. Oh, no, it's a gnome. The elf. Hot.